Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God from today's Holy Gospel found in Mark chapter 10. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate. This is God's word. Jesus gives us a very hard word today. One that maybe we wrestle a little bit with in this age where divorce is so common. I mean, I don't often do this. I don't like sermons to be interactive because I hated when I was a kid and someone would ask me, like, raise your hand or something like that. How many of you know someone who's been divorced? Or have been divorced yourself? Yeah, all of us, right? So, in order to get our brains around what Jesus is saying about divorce, we have to first understand something about the problem of sin. If you look at the sermon title this morning, it's that what it says there. Sin runs deep. Have you ever, any of you ever known a person who thought they had some sort of small malady and then it turned out to be something terribly worse? Someone who had a headache and it was actually a brain aneurysm and it took their life, or a cough and it turned out it was lung cancer or something equally terrible. The story that comes to mind for me is my grandma. Not my grandma Binger, my grandma Roosh. And I know there are few people left here at Our Redeemer who remember my grandma Roosh. She's been gone for almost 35 years. I was 6 years old when she passed away. And she was, in my family, the healthiest of all my grandparents. I mean, at least we thought so. She was active, she walked, she gardened, she didn't drink or smoke, she ate good foods, did all the things you would think a person needs to do. Well, at 67 years old, they found she had a tumor on her adrenal gland. I mean, that's so rare. I mean, that doesn't often happen. And she was gone within a couple of days. You see, what you see on the surface doesn't always reveal the full story of what's hidden beneath. And the same is true of sin. That what you see on the outside, the appearances that people might give that we're accustomed to being able to give, they might not reveal what's actually lying underneath. You know, the story of the Titanic, when it struck that iceberg that sunk it. You know, there was very little of the iceberg sticking out above the water, but it was what was below the surface that struck the hull of the ship and took down the mighty Titanic. If we're going to understand what Jesus is saying about divorce, we have to understand this about sin, that it runs deep, because we're not going to like what Jesus says. It's not easy to hear Jesus' words in a world that's been flipped around, turned over upside down by marriages being broken apart. So let's deal with what Jesus is telling us here. The Pharisees want to know if there's ever an instance where divorce is lawful. They point to Moses' practice of writing a certificate of divorce for a man, quote, sending his wife away. But instead, Jesus pointed the Pharisees to the Garden of Eden, to the first husband and wife, and he said, what therefore God has joined together, let not man separate. So let's apply that to what Jesus is saying to the Pharisees. When is divorce permissible? Answer, it isn't. Because a divorce is the destruction of something God has brought together. A man shall leave his father and mother, hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And destroying what God has brought together is something terrible. Divorce is never good. Divorce is always filled with sin. And this is Jesus talking about this. Now, Does that mean there's never a circumstance where a couple must divorce? That's not what Jesus says. Some of you might say, what about a woman who's being beaten by her husband? Are you saying she should never divorce him? That's not what Jesus says. What about a man whose wife abuses their children and then drives them to school drunk? Should he stay married to her? That's not what Jesus is saying. What Jesus does tell us is that divorce is by nature sinful. Divorce is by nature bad. But that's the depth of sin. Sometimes doing the thing that is necessary means doing something sinful. Sometimes we are caught between sin and sin. If all this sounds confusing, don't be surprised. The point in all of this is that sin runs deep. Our sins are not just little blemishes, little pimples on our face that we can put some cover up over or a band-aid and no one will see it. Sin runs deep to our very core. It's embedded in our hearts. You can't cut off a marriage without sinning. Just like you can't wake up in the morning without sinning. You can't go to work without sinning. You can't walk into church on Sunday morning without sinning. Because it's who we are. We are sinful people, and what do sinful people do? They sin. A Pharisee thinks it's all about the appearance you give off towards others. If a marriage becomes a distraction or something that detracts from your life, just write it off, keep everything looking good. And the Pharisee in you and me thinks the same thing about sin. If we can cover it up, make everything look good on the surface, everything will be just fine. But sin runs deep. Sin infects the entire being. In the Bible, sin is often compared to yeast, to the leaven, the Bible calls it, that is worked into bread dough. When you mix that leaven, that yeast, into bread dough, it causes the whole dough to rise. And if you were to try to remove that yeast from the bread, once it's already worked into the dough, well, it'd be just about impossible to do. And yet, God would command the Israelites, in preparation for the Passover, to get rid of all the yeast, all the leaven in their homes, as a reminder to get rid of sin in their lives. But you can't mix yeast into bread dough and then decide that you want to remove it. It doesn't work that way. Here's another example. I remember when my kids were much, much smaller, they liked to play with Play-Doh, right? I mean, a lot of you bought your kids Play-Doh before, right? What a waste of money, in my opinion, because you know what always happens? You get like 3 colors or 5 colors, right? Red, yellow, blue, maybe a green, maybe an orange. And an hour later, what do you have? Instead of 5 colors, you got one big blob of ugly purple brown color, right? Now, how easy do you think it would be once all those colors are blended together to separate them and put them back into their proper containers? That's the effect that sin has on you and me. It's not just something we can pick out and extract. It's something that is worked into, woven into us. And in the case of divorce, one of the reasons divorce is such a travesty and happens so frequently among us is because of how great this problem of sin is. That where sinful people find themselves in marriage, sin gets in the way and sin destroys what God has brought together. You can't divorce your spouse without sinning, just as you can't give to the poor without sinning. You can't go to church without sinning. You can't go to work without sinning. You can't even go to sleep without sinning, because it still lies in your heart. Even if you don't have dreams in the night that take you to places God doesn't want you to go, you are a sinner because it infects all of who you are. Rather than trying to justify ourselves like the Pharisees tried to do, we need to call divorce what it is. A sin. A sin that lines up with all the other sins that afflict all of us. And the answer to sin isn't, don't sin. That's not an acceptable solution to the problem. Because what do sinners do? They sin in thought, word, and deed. It infects them from their brains to their hearts to their every action that they commit. Sinners sin, so what's the answer? Well, of course, here, the answer is found in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the one whose love runs deeper than the sin that runs through you and me. The one who gives his life into death on the cross and takes every sin upon himself, sheds his blood for you. Divorced, single, married, remarried, widowed, young and waiting for the day that comes when marriage is something you think about wherever you are. All your sin finds the depths of God's love on the cross where he pours out his blood for you. You see, if we're to understand the depth of God's love for us in Jesus Christ, you have to understand the depth of your sin and how utterly hopeless it is to try to justify yourself. I mean, we say every single Sunday morning that we are poor, miserable sinners. I don't know if there are enough adjectives to adequately describe our condition. Poor, miserable, wretched, lost, filthy, disgusting, contaminated, unclean, unholy, imperfect sinners that we are. But in the blood of the Holy One of God, Jesus Christ, every single sin finds its resolution. It seems simplistic for us to say in our world today where not just divorce, but sexual sin of all different kinds, redefinition of what marriage is, of what is pleasing in God's sight, people justifying their actions that are sinful before God. In all sorts of scenarios, it seems simplistic to say that the answer is Jesus. Well, he's the only solution that is bigger than the problem we face. Because the reason there's so much hate and brokenness and division, the reason why there's people following their own desires instead of God's will, the reason why you have people on both sides of the political aisle hating each other and lobbing and spewing animosity and vile words at one another, the reason you have families breaking apart and people abusing alcohol and drugs and pornography, the reason we have such a problem with greed and jealousy and self-centeredness, all of it is sin. Sin that runs oh so deep. And yet, the depth of God's love in Jesus Christ for you runs even deeper. You can think of it in terms of that baptismal font where Everett and Eliza were brought this morning. It's nothing deeper than the water of that baptism. Although Everett will tell you there wasn't that much water in there, right, Everett? Just a little tiny bit, right? We were talking a lot about it, so we knew what was going to be happening this morning. But, you know, in reality, the water of that baptism is deep. It's as deep as God's love, because that's what baptism is. That's what baptism is for you. It's God's love for you. It says that what Jesus did on that cross, what he revealed in the empty tomb, it's not just a neat story. It's your story. It's for you. He did it for you. The depth of his love is deeper than the depth of your sin, deeper than the corruption of your heart, deeper than the problems of your life. His love covers it all. So what's Jesus doing in our gospel today? No, he's definitely correcting the impression that we can justify and sanitize divorce and make it into something that is God-pleasing and holy. Certainly can't. But all of us in our various sins and various wickedness that we all share upon, we find an answer that the Pharisees didn't even know they were looking for. Grace of God found in Jesus Christ that takes away their sin. We heard in our Old Testament reading today that God created marriage back in the Garden of Eden to be a picture of Jesus' deep love for you and me. Heard a story one time told to me about, I forget where I heard it, so I don't know who to give credit for the story to. A man lived back in Germany during World War II, and he had neighbors next door to him who were Jews. And obviously, knowing the SS was going around trying to round up Jewish families, he brought the family into his home. He had a trap door in the floor in the back of the house. He was able to hide them in a crawl space underneath his kitchen. And of course, one day the SS came into his home and asked him, "Have you seen any Jewish people around here? We know there was a family who lived next door." The man was caught between sin. Now we might say, what's the right thing to do in that scenario? The right thing, of course, would be to say, no, I haven't seen any Jews, to lie to the SS to protect the lives of those hidden in your crawl space. Jesus also says in John chapter 8 that Satan is the father of lies. And when we lie, we take on his character. Well, the man was later asked, "How'd you know what to do?" They said to him, "Surely you knew that the right thing to do, the thing that would please God, would be to protect those people." And he said, "I knew that I would sin no matter what. I knew that I would sin by lying. I knew that I would sin by giving my neighbor over to certain death." Then he said, "But through it all, I know I bring my sin to the cross of my Lord Jesus Christ. And I know that there I'm forgiven." That's the depth of sin. It's so pervasive, so powerful, so deep that we're pinned between a rock and a hard place. It's the literal damned if you do, damned if you don't scenario. And yet, as deep as sin is, the love of God through Christ your Lord is so much deeper. It forgives you. It redeems you. It tells you that you are God's own. It reminds you of what God showed us back in the Garden of Eden, that marriage, the joining of a man and woman, is a picture of the love between Jesus Christ and his church. How has your bridegroom, your heavenly husband Jesus Christ, loved you? By giving his life into death for every bit of sin, everything that's under the surface, everything that you think is hidden away and no one else can see. He sees it all. And yet he still willingly goes to his cross for sinners, for you and for me. Amen. The peace of God, which